but are you still able to act?
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm Jake Mendez Jr. I'm an activist and a community fellow and an ACLU member. I've just come before the City Council and the mayor that I'm preaching that I owe everyone an apology. My efforts wasn't necessary. I know that. And the situation personally that I took it personally and I didn't need to take that to you guys. There's nothing personal I guess here, it was just awareness. However, I am seeing an increase in the pain. I know a lot of businesses and owners and all that that are scared to speak up. And this is why I'm going to be an activist. I'm speaking on behalf of them for those who don't have the courage to speak up about it. I'm going into depth at every section of Othello. I see the graffiti. I'm looking at them. Oh, and I want to invite the City Council that it is becoming an issue within City Limits and also outside City Limits as well. And I know you guys know the City Limits and where now I understand that. However, I just wanted to advise that, you know, I'm seeing this and that I'm really deep down looking at all this. I'm observing everywhere I go. I'm looking at the other corner of the street, anyone with a clinic. To the library all the way down to Walmart, along with the people looking at hospital. I'm taking my time, I'm taking my observation and addressing it here to the City Council, going back and to the public as well. So I just wanted to apologize first and foremost for my first, that wasn't necessary. I was out of line, I'll admit that. And that's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Sam Garza, my physical address, 2354 West Hatton Road, here in Othello. And I just want to thank you guys for serving the City of Othello. I remember sitting in your place many years ago, and I didn't think I was having any of back then. You know that, I'm getting old and I'm forgetting. But I wanted to thank you for your time. I know that it takes time and dedication to look at the issues that are before the City Council and the things that you have to decide on, which is not very easy to do. So I want to appreciate your time and your efforts and encourage you to continue doing a great job for our community. Because this is our community and we love it and we want the best for it. Thank you and God bless you.
Okay, Karen, now I'll move on to item
Mayor and Council, thank you. Today, I mean, this is a pleasure that I could introduce Jesse Campos to you and what the Lighthouse is proposing and where we'd like to go from there. So, Jesse got a hold of me and said that he was working with the Lighthouse and they were looking at putting together some gang interventions by mentoring in Othello. Now, I've known Jesse for 12 years. We worked in Sunnyside Gang. Gang intervention was one of the pieces that we knew was missing. I don't have the street credibility to sit down with a hardcore gang member and say, hey, how's it going? They won't give me the time of day. When we start looking at how we're going to attack the problem of gangs in our community, we have to look at it. We've got prevention, we've got intervention, we've got suppression. I represent suppression, and to a limited degree, prevention with DARE and some of the other things that we in our SLOs and that kind of thing. But what we're, and Juan Barza and juvenile probation does a fantastic job with juveniles that have been committed. They've been forced into his system, and then he gets to actually work with them. The problem is we have kids that aren't in the system or are in between getting in and out of the system that we're having a hard time reaching. They're not providing intervention, we're not providing mentoring, they're getting kicked out of school probably 6th, 7th, 8th grade. It makes it very difficult, and that's a lot of the gang problem that we're seeing in our community that's doing graffiti. And when Jesse said they were considering this, I immediately said, I'm excited, let's meet, let's talk. I introduced him to the mayor. He's also been in touch with Pete Perez at the school district, and the other CDHA. And I've also talked to them too, trying to figure out how we can put a partnership together as a community with the work that Jesse can do, the Lighthouse, through the Lighthouse. And I'd like Jesse to introduce himself and explain some of what he can bring to the table. I'm going to tell you, he brings his real. And you guys have not heard that from me very many times. And I think he's got some real current examples to give you, too. But what we're proposing, if council agrees with what they're seeing, what they're hearing, is, and we get consensus to move forward, I'd like to meet with the players, put together an agreement, and the city, and at that point, ask the city for a contribution of $30,000 of ARPA funds to help fund it at least the first year, and we get some serious mentoring and intervention going in our community. And that's just a piece of it. So I'm going to introduce this one, Jesse Campos.
Mr. Mayor, City Council members, thank you for the honor and privilege to stand before you this evening. It sounds cliche, but I love young people. And way back in the day, I wasn't a drug addict, a gangster yet, at the starting age of 9 years old. Understanding that dynamic, and understanding the life, and understanding what I've been through, trauma, and everything that I've been through, I have a heart for those that crossed over the threshold of prevention, now they need intervention. They need somebody to pull their ears at some time. Somebody they can talk to, somebody they can cry on, and somebody that will understand at their level what they're going through. There is a saying that says this, the greatest tragedy in life is not the one that dies young, but it's the one that dies while living. And I believe that there's a lot of individuals and a lot of young kids and young adults in this city that have died young. But there are some that are dying while they're living. With no vision, no purpose, no lane that they can focus onto so they can have a better destiny in their life. And I believe that mentoring can do that. I believe mentoring is something that this, not only this community and this region, but this nation really needs for our young kids. Looking at the kids' data, looking at kids' count data, it says about 42% of minority houses in the United States of America, 42% lack a father in the house. So having said that,
Maybe this is the reason why in Eastern Washington we have 85% of gangs are Latino gangs. Maybe that's the reason why that some of these kids don't have a moral voice in their lives. Maybe that's the reason why that they're not graduating on time or not graduating at all. Maybe it's because drug addiction, teen pregnancy is on high. Because there's a lack of moral voice. A voice that understands them, a voice that can talk to them. And I believe that we can do that. About 2 months ago, Pastor Sam Garza had a great vision for this community and through the Lighthouse, having an after-school program. They'll be able to help students come in and I don't want to say distract them with time and activities, but it takes and may be that we can help them there at the Lighthouse. We can help them get further in education. We can help young adults get further education to college. Pacific University. I believe that we can do it here. There's a great need. I met a couple of gang members that came in. The reason why I say gang members is because if you walk like a duck, act like a duck, you talk like a duck, guess what? You're a duck. I've seen some members come in, and I knew right away that these guys are it. Walked over there, introduced myself, and they were reluctant to speak with me, but after I shared my story with them, they begin to open up and begin to say, I am a gang member from the ESL gang here. Begin to talk to them. And then bought them an energy drink from all somebody who's left energy drinks. But after that, they brought a friend over. And after that, they're trying to get contact with me more just by one time sitting with them and really just caring about them and sharing them with them. This is what I think we can do here. And I think through the Lighthouse, and I don't want to sound, because I am a pastor as well, but I believe the foundation at the Lighthouse brings stability, spiritual, mental, and really bring that component to connecting with you that I've crossed over the threshold. So, why me? Well, knowing that I have experience being gang with a drug addict, homelessness, but I've worked with the city of the Tri-Cities, worked with all chiefs and sheriffs, department there, worked with their street crime unit, had a contract with the city of Sunnyside, working with their gang unit there, and the chief as well, worked with the city of Yakima, Wapato, and Toppenish as well, created, I have a gamut of long list of things that I've done to help young adults, even had a contract with the DOC office in Olympia to go into prisons and do intervention work with gang-affiliated individuals. I love them. And I care for them. And I believe that we can do amazing work here in the city. And I believe that we can change the trajectory where a lot of these kids are heading to greater future in their lives. So that's what I'd like to share with you. And I thank you again and honor to stand before you. You have any questions?
I have a question for the chief and probably Dr. Staff. So if the council would approve the $30,000 that come out of the audit fund, if we were to approve it. So we have the school district, CBHA, and the Lighthouse, of course. Do we have a number that we're going to be paying in on top of the $30,000? I don't have to have I don't need to hear a set number, but is there more money going to be given for the position?
No, we're also taking for another funding, another grant.
The reason I ask, if we're going to get somebody, you know, to focus on this, on graffiti and with all you talked about, and I don't think $30,000 will keep the person. You know, what I'm saying is that if we're going to keep them, we might as well pay them what the going rate is, so we can keep them and bring down the crime as far as in the areas you mentioned. So that's why I'd like to know, you know, what other proceeds are coming in for him. The wages for him. Because if we're going to start something, let's start it right. Because if you were to pay me $30,000, I'll be here today, and I'll be here tomorrow. That's what I'm
doing. Right now, as Pastor Sam mentioned, we are looking at extra funding. Right now, I'm actually sitting with Juan Garza tomorrow, looking at two grants that we possibly can partner with. CBHA, Mr. Nieves, as well, has said that there's possibly funding through them. I've sat with the chief, mayor,
Mr. Nieves, Juan Garza, Josh Tovar from the alternative school as well, sat down with Pete Perez, also sat down with Sandra from the county, Adams County Health Services. There's a lot of ways and connections that we can come together and raise the funds that we need. And this is the beginning, the foundation, but we definitely need some funding for staff. And that's one thing that we're really clear about. We haven't sat down really to speak about overhead costs, but right now, I just want to build a great foundation to actually serve the city and serve our youth. And that's really good.
Go ahead. If I can just add a little bit, I have committed our church board at Bethlehem committed nearly $50,000 to help out Starkus in our community. Just to have him here while we get things going. Besides the investment the church has done in buying the location and the remodeling, we're talking about $300,000. So we believe that our community is all concerned with it. Nothing has happened in this arena of taking care of our young people outside of the school, outside of the Adams County Juvenile Department, which again, as he mentioned, those are the only kids that are already in the system. We want to get to the kids before they get into the system. And we want to provide something that is better for them. So that's why Bethel has created the Lighthouse Community Center for the betterment of our own community. We believe in investing in our own community and doing something here for the betterment of the entire community. So we're asking for the help in the city and also asking help from other foundations that we're learning about as we're developing this. And that's why Jesse is here, because he has a lot more experience in that than I do. I like to come to being the pastor of the church, but this is another passion that the Lord has instilled in my heart for our community. And that's not me, and I'm sure I'm not lying. So again, I being someone who sat there one time too many years ago, I know that the city gets funds from the state to invest in our community, and I know that we used to help one of those couple that were here at my time, which by the way, they haven't been here in about 15 years. That's a long time. And that's why now we're confronted with the issue that we have in the community, because sadly we haven't done nothing about it. I think it's time for us to rally up, gather together, support each other, and do something for the better of our community.
And hoping that on that, Mr. Kreiser, one of the things that the mayor and I discussed with Justin Washington was creating sustaining funding. That would be, I think, amount towards this in the beginning, how do we keep it coming? So we discussed some ideas with that. I've also met with CBHA, as I said, and the school district to make sure that we've got at least a start towards identifying what each of the players brings to the table. So if council supports this concept, then what I'm proposing, and if this doesn't seem like too much, it needs to be a little. But if council supports this concept, then I'll start the work of putting together and get an agreement that spells out what each of the players' contribution is.
Would $30,000 be enough to get the Lighthouse or whoever got the first year of the contract or a single-year contract?
I think about when you're contract is the best start.
Chiefs, or mayor, maybe, or council. So if we're approving $30,000, it's going to be this time only, or we would go to motion every year for the same $30,000.
The Lighthouse would be my employer. The Lighthouse is a nonprofit organization.
Bethel is contributing to the Lighthouse.
Okay.
The Lighthouse is an independent nonprofit organization.
501c3, completely independent from Bethel. When I said Bethel, it's because Bethel bought the building, and we contributed the money to hire him, but it's not Bethel. This is the Lighthouse Communities. Very good question. Thank you.
Pastor, so real quick. So I haven't been into the deacon meeting because I've been here. I the 50 grand, is that the start, the waiting for 1 year start, or however the last month of that?
We committed, the board committed to doing it for 6 months. Yeah, you weren't here to meet that meeting, yeah, but it was for 6 months. And then from then on, we're going to take it every year. And then this is only part-time as well, so I'm only here part-time. As you know, it takes a full-time effort to be here. So this is the reason why we're looking into other funding to make that possible, and some other staff as well to help with everything else.
So if I don't depend on your going full-time, then, right?
Okay. Part of the agreement that we're proposing to put together would spell out these conditions. We're interested in a 12-month agreement, not a 6-month agreement. To address who the employer, who the employee relationship is. If the city is putting this kind of money into something like this, then it makes sense that the city has some input as either sitting on the board or I know the Lighthouse already has a board. Even the liberals are. We're not paying someone to just sit in office, but we're also not saying, and my recommendation, I'm not saying, hey, Lighthouse, here's $30,000, do what you want with it. And a week later, Jesse's not working for them, he's decided part-time or full-time isn't good enough, then there's some expectations that we as a city need to protect. And I think that's in the Lighthouse's interest, Jesse's interest, and CDHA, school district, and city's interest.
So I'm interested in the program, and I would be willing to get my consensus pending the review of the contract, the deliverables, and the length of time we can determine at that point if $30,000 is too much or too little. So my consensus would be to move forward and work to resolve the contract.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Have our consensus.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Here again. Nice to see those of you who I have not met, and it's great to see those of whom we've been previously. So, as the mayor said, my name is Sarah Schwan, and I am the Advocacy and Development Manager for the Metcalfe Library. And yeah, this is kind of a wrap up of the year 2021, and then also kind of educating and creating awareness about what Metcalfe Library does and how it benefits the city of Othello to be part of our system. Oh, here, I'm sorry. Beautiful. Thank you. So, Metcalfe Libraries has been enhancing quality of life by providing excellence in books and services for the residents of Othello since 1995. Next slide. there is our badge currently. Likely. So as I mentioned, Midcombia Library is a larger system, of which there are benefits to being a part of. We have 12 branches across Benton, Franklin, and of course the city of Phillips. And so with that, we're able to take advantage of economies of scale. So we have access to a larger collection, we pool our resources and our services, and so I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in my presentation. But we do have a courier that runs 6 days a week. So if you go online and find a title that you want out of our collection, and it's at one of our other branches, it'll be here the very next day for you. Next slide. So back in early 2020, when I first started with Midcombia Libraries, we put together a 10-year strategic plan, and I quickly realized that that wasn't going to be much of use as the world kept evolving and changing with COVID. But the strategic plan had shown two main areas, knowledge and culture, and language and literacy. But as COVID continued to evolve and linger, we realized that we didn't really have a good grasp of the needs of our communities. And so we put out an RFP for a community needs assessment, and we have just wrapped that up. The data collection part of that. So I'm happy if anybody here completed that survey. I'd love to hear that. Our goal was 2,400 responses and we got over 2,700. So we're really pleased with that data. And bring you a quote, thank you. So right now we don't have the data delved down into any deeper traits or pieces of diversity, whether it's ethnicity, income, age, language, education, or more, but we did intentionally keep the questions pretty broad so that it could be used to cities, community partners, nonprofits, and so if we continue to analyze that data, we'll be happy to provide a report to the city of Othello on what is important to those who reside here in Othello. But of those 27,000 responses, you can see this list of 9 here. These are the areas in which over 1,000 of those respondents said that these were extremely important. So these are a number of these areas in which the library focuses, and then there's some that are going to be more important in our community partners, including literacy skills for kids and teens, timely access, quality health care, safe public spaces, mental and behavioral health care, early literacy, affordable housing, kindergarten and school readiness, and then quality health care. The next slide has on some of the surprises that we were interested to learn. So over 1,100 responses, people said that the life skills for teens and young adults is extremely important, and then also improving literacy skills for adults as well. Interestingly enough, obviously COVID changed how people use and read data, but you can see they're neck and neck here with those who feel digital just about as important as access to physical materials. Of course, physical materials, my background with the nonprofit for children's literacy, physical is always going to be best. Book is best for a child, you don't want them on a device. But as the world evolves, obviously digital is going to be more accessible and easier. So here is a little snapshot, and all these photos were taken by Corinne and her staff. So I love seeing local faces here, and I love the library and love the books. But so the cardholders who use Othello, our library here, is their home branch, is over 10,000. We have 422 people who use the Othello library, but they do not reside here. And then the average age of cardholders here is going to be 36. So for our Othello library, over 45,000 pieces of our collection were checked out during 2001. 28% of these were digital. I believe our highest branch that uses the most digital is 29%. So Othello's right up there with our highest usage for digital. And then we have an amazing app that was coming on board for our local system around the time of COVID, and it timed out really well. So if you are familiar with the Libby app, that's how you can access our collection digitally. And Overdrive, the parent company of Libby, created Sora. So on school district issued devices, there is a Sora app on there. And so if students can go on, they do not need a library card. They simply use their student ID and they're able to access our entire digital collection that is age appropriate for that student. So we were happy to see that over 3,400 pieces of our collection were checked out by students using their school issued devices. So again, as being part of the Midcombia Libraries as a whole, we're able to pool our resources. And of our budget this year, over 1.3 is dedicated to new materials. New books, new physical books, digital books. So overall, our
our collection is worth 12 million, and we have one of the largest digital smash collections, and then both physical and digital in the state. So to give you a little bit of information on when you do have a library card and how long you're able to have things checked out for, our items are auto-renewed. We increased that during COVID. It used to be like two or three times, but they're auto-renewed up to 5 times, provided nobody else wants that piece of our collection. So yeah, you can kind of see from the different pieces how long you can check those out. And every library card holder can have over 100 items. I love going into schools and letting students know that, but I also want to you need to keep track of those 100 items. But so every person in the household can have a library card. And who knows how many pieces of the collection we have in our house? So this slide here is the number of items that we have in our collection as compared with nearby systems. So the blue is going to be the digital collection that we own. The red is the physical collection that we own. You can see the yellow, and that is the denoted with the red and blue around my slide there. But the yellow is called the Anytime Library. So libraries or that are of a smaller district don't have the resources to buy a large digital collection, and therefore they buy into the Washington Anytime Library. So the yellow portion of the Richland, Walla Walla, and East Adams Library District, that is the same collection. So across the state, there's 1,000 users that is buying in to use that same collection. Whereas those who belong with Mid-Columbia, you can see the digital collection is much larger, and you're only competing against 300,000 other people for that. So the access is going to be much greater. You're going to have less wait times. So we are pretty proud of that. Next slide. So it's very easy to get a library card. You can sign up online and then strictly use our digital collection, or you can go in and see Corinne and her fabulous staff there and get a library card. And in 2021, over 200 people in the fellow became cardholders, and then of the entire cardholders, 301 of them here in Othello only use our digital collection. Next slide. So one of the main themes, as you saw from our community needs assessment, is that early literacy, preparing kids to read. Schools experience up to 5 years difference between the child's readiness. You can be 2 years ahead or you can be 3 years behind. So you can imagine the difficulty teachers have in teaching that wide breadth of readiness skills. So we have put together a great list of books and have made it fun for parents and encouraging them to read together as a child. That's the best time to help them learn and prepare them for school readiness. And we're thankful for SPCU for that program sponsor. So at any time, you can go on our website and check out our online calendar. This little cutie is part of our Read Beyond the Bean Path, which is our summer reading program, summer reading challenge, as we call it. And so we have that every year, and so there's ways to track your reading, and then you are able to get prizes, get a free book, and as well as take part in great concerts and activities within the branches. Corinne and her staff do an amazing job with programming and creating rich environments, whether it be a literacy-based or activity-based for the residents of Othello. So another key theme of the community assessment was the need for access to high-speed Wi-Fi, computers. And so during COVID, we made sure that every one of our branches had a great signal outside of our branches. So a fellow library actually has the third highest usage for our Wi-Fi hotspot for people coming up and either using their devices within the branch or in the parking lot. And then you can also, this is a big help for people working remotely or for students doing online schooling, is the 5 free printing. You can do more than that, but you get the first 5 free. And so again, this is our Libby app that you can access our free books. Again, if you do not have a library card, you can go on our website, put in your phone number, and that billing address with your phone number will allow you to sign up for Libby without going into our branch. We have a vast number of resources on our website, digital resources. You can encounter firewalls, trying to read newspapers, you can go to our digital resources and use the online subscriptions that we have, and then also we have great programs such as Pronunciator and ProCitizen to help people who are learning a new language or perhaps becoming a U.S. citizen. During COVID, we created a program called Library Grab Bags, where essentially our staff is going to be a personal shopper for you, and that we continue to do that. We had one customer, I believe it was in Prosser, who said, give me 5 DVDs that start with A, and then I said B, which I know my daughter, she never likes what I So having a librarian say, you know, this is my daughter's interest, this is her reading level, and then they can personal shop, and then you get to go up, whether it's dropped off to your car or you go into the branch, you can have those pieces again up to 100 brought out for you from our staff. We have a new feature where you can put in your favorite authors, and then you get author alerts when we have new pieces from that author in our collection. And then again, we still do curbside pickup. If you wish not to get out of your car, if it's too hot, we will still continue to bring, whether it's your printed items, pieces of the collection, we'll bring it up to your car for you. We have a great app. I like using it when I'm at a bookstore, well, not a local bookstore, but a national chain bookstore. I will go in and put in a book that I'm interested in reading and see if we have it in our collection. And if not, you can also suggest that we add it to our collection as well. And again, I mentioned the store app, but this is what it looks like for students to go on and access our collection through their school-issued devices or through their own personal devices as well. And this is our Othello library and our hours. And these are, again, some of the great pictures and the rich activities that Corinne and her staff put on for the community. Corinne, did you have anything you wanted to add for how the year's been going for you?
Hello, it's so good to see you, and thank you for putting up with my wearing a mask. It's not required to wear a mask at the library anymore, but I have a close relative at the hospital, and so if I don't get COVID, I can still go visit her. In some of those early pictures, there was a young man, there was a blue wall behind him, and then the following one, they were from teacher Michael Defoe's classroom. And that was last September, October. And having a lot of our outreaches with young children, trying to get kids excited about books and literacy. But there is some work with the high school. And so what Pastor Garson and the other gentlemen were talking about, working with gang, and I'm just about ready to cry. It's so exciting. And there's going to be a gentleman named Ricardo Ruiz who will be here September 29th. He was raised in Othello, and he's going to do a poetry reading. And I'm just going, oh man, that would be so great if some of our young people could hear that. But talking about, mainly about working the fields and the poetry written. Originally in Spanish and now translated in English. But we do a lot of work with children. So not too much with teenagers. We try to catch them when they're younger, so they'll keep coming. But if we can reach out to these older kids, and again, I'm so excited about what you all are doing for working with the teenagers. That's so great. And then there are a couple other things I thought of. Let's say that little girl that you know, who's got the stripes at the very bottom on the left, she was concentrating so hard that it's like, don't bother me, I'm doing my thing. Or the other day, there was a little kid who was very busily working on a project, and she was fat big, like 2 years old, but we had finished it. I mean, the hour was up, and she was working with blocks, and to watch her put her things together, she was just this lovely little girl, but she was screaming this thing, she goes, Mommy, I don't want to go, don't get us out, it's like, don't get us out. So, thank you for your support. We have a wonderful staff, and our customers love us. They come in, and we had a Lego club today, and there was so much noise, I mean, nice noise in the back that I just loved it. And so thank you for your support, and thank you.
Are there any questions?
Thank you, Sarah and Corinne, for coming to the city council.
towards getting a new facility.
Yeah.
And at the same token, we're just glad that you came tonight and provided this information. We're going to invite you back.
All right, of course, sir. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you.
Now into item 4C, which is the Borrella contract amendment and revision number 4 on the wastewater facility plan and GPS
Okay, so Mayor and Council, what you have before you is an amendment to our contract with Borrella. This amendment is addressing doing some summary reports on the class that we were required to do for our NPDES permit. We've taken this to the Water Sewer Street Committee. We've talked to the Department of Ecology and tried to figure out what is required in these. We've talked to the sub-consultant to Rella to understand the complexity of this information that's being gathered currently. Then it has to be compiled and submitted to the DOE, and we believe it is something that's beyond our time requirements and expertise, so we are bringing this to you to make an amendment to the Rella contract.
Outfitted it with the GPS, can't remember what else, the front blade, anyway, some other options besides just the basic unit. And you can see, I don't know if yours is correct or not, then the explanation for miles of road and stuff online or not. Correct. I called in there to correct it, but if you go back to the spreadsheet, these are the, we have right at 10 miles of gravel roads to maintain, 54 miles of improved roads to maintain the snow removal. And right now they have wore out old dump trucks with blades under them, snow plows and pickups that they're doing for snow removal. And they have an old box blade behind the backhoe trying to maintain the alleyways and gravel roads, which obviously haven't been maintained very well. There's a number of streets on the south side of town in the industrial area that aren't even really roads. They're just a road, dirt trail that need to be this road grader, we went down to visit Case, I believe it was a week ago one day, Justin and I did, looked at the machine. We were able to get him to knock down about $115,000 off the new tires with all this stuff on it. They're going to replace all the wear parts, definitely, they're going to be no more. They're also getting a three-year service contract on it.
Full maintenance.
Full maintenance. And I talked with Spencer and the mayor on financing this, if you'd be able to finance, you know, all two streets you would want it. And split up appropriately for audit. It wouldn't be even amounts, but Spencer was in favor of this. We did talk with the mayor a little bit, really else like that.
Now that he mentioned you guys discussed parking funds if we needed to. It'd be a great asset to the city. Our alleys are in dire need of repair. It'd speed up our snow plowing capabilities and just make us more efficient in our job. So I think it's a good value for the dollar. Said we got them down $100,000+ with the Sourcewell program that the city signed up with last year, which is a government program that you basically go to one source, like this piece of equipment, and they discount it, and he discounted $15,000 off as well for the hours that Fish and Wildlife put on it. And they have another machine that's similar to it without all the gadgets and gizmos this one has, and it's almost $350,000 for a pair of machine. So I think it's a good asset for the city.
I do.
I do. And I believe Dan does as well. Well, I ran their equipment, so. But, and Kurt and I have talked about starting to train the other employees to be able to operate equipment to an extent and get them more proficient and able to do their jobs better.
Yeah, I'm working on a physical safety sheet to get everybody signed off on the equipment. Nobody has been signed off on operating with its equipment for safety. So I'm working on a program for that right now.
You'll be using the truck as well to put forward more of the rest.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you can talk about the
machine. No, it's going to take, it'll probably take the place of almost three pieces of equipment. So it'll speed it up and be a lot easier. You have an N8 on the way, but the guy is going to die. You know,
we haven't priced that out yet, but I've been researching it.
Will this be the first purchase of equipment for the fire death system?
This will be the city's first death equipment. So, and Lawrence Oil keeps death on hand, and they're the most reasonable in town to purchase it from. You can get it in the 2.5 gallon jugs.
Yeah, you're not buying any more of them.
So, bulk might be a good consideration after we figure out how it runs on depth and how efficient it is. So.
Depth lasts forever. Bulk down there. The problem with buying depth and bulk is it's pretty.
It's got to stay in.
So, yeah, and there actually is a shelf life on it.
Okay.
So, about $40 if I go.
Yeah, depth is pretty cheap. Well, I was.
So I
have some questions. First of all, I'm going to argue a point you made. You said the equipment is worn out. There's no way. We have two brand new trucks down there. That equipment's not worn out. So plowing snow.
He said dump trucks.
The dump trucks.
You're not talking city vehicles.
No. The dump trucks. One.
You're not using new service vehicles down there for plowing.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. You have two brand spanking new ones. Probably haven't even had plows on yet.
And I did not argue that.
The other thing is that's a lot of money. $250,000 for 4 miles of road, 5 miles of alley. I've been running alleys here for 28 years and they've never been excavated. So, I mean.
It's 10 miles of alley.
Yeah.
As I said, look at the spreadsheet.
Okay. And that's, okay. Yeah. But even 10 miles of alley, You know, we've got a lot of excavation companies here. Has anybody talked to them to see what they would charge us for excavating the alleys and the 4 miles of roads we have down there? I'll be the first to tell you, I'm back to 100%, both the alleys and those roads down there are horrible and they need to be done. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind about that. But has anybody talked to the excavation company? I think we can get a lot of excavation done for $250,000 without having maintenance on a vehicle.
Kurt, I mean, if you want to sell the council, like Corey and myself on this, let's tell us it's going to go all week and how we need. And we don't have the highest freight rate. It'll save a lot of time and money.
If you start maintaining them and stuff, you're still going to have to maintain the edges of your alley. But your center lines and stuff are going to be gone.
I just have to
But Mark probably knows. Because I do know some of the excavation companies. They're taking excavators to businesses, to the roads in front of their businesses down.
They are. That's, I think, bad on the city's part. They're having a contractor repair.
I think the road operator, you can travel some miles a day.
Well, I've done the alleys with the little box scraper we have. I was, on a good day, I was doing 7 blocks on a good day.
And so that, we already have someone that's doing these. This isn't going to be another surprise. We need a new person to hire. We need two more people.
No, we can.
We already have someone making the best of their building.
Yes.
That alleys and gravel.
Right.
Okay. That was my next question.
That was the first thing that came to mind when I read this, you know, this report. You know, we had a deal for 350 to 247, that's the kind of deal. I didn't get that kind of deal okay, but still, 250,000 is a lot of money. You're talking 10,000.
Not for a grader.
But I'm saying it's a lot of money in general to spend.
To create this amount of. To do this amount of it.
Yeah, but it's also that under an application for snow removal.
I can add something to the snow removal. I was thinking about this process. We have the two dump trucks, we have this blade, and we have pickups already. We can potentially run the big equipment on your arterials, get the arterials clean, and simultaneously have the pickups out starting on residential cleanup.
But so you didn't get all the credit in the world for the snow plan. You guys do a great job and you're quick at it. I meant that as a compliment and as an awesome. You guys are awesome at that.
It's not just alleys. You've also got a lot of you've got nothing but gravel roads around your treatment plant.
Yeah.
They are in dire need of work on them too. All the well sites need to be maintained, and that's something that can be used on. It's a piece of equipment that I think we've been lacking at Public Works for a long time. I think they had a road grader at one point in time when I started their business, like ancient.
Yeah, it was an old galleon.
They go through
10 gallons of hydraulic fluid in half a day, basically,
yeah.
What Dan was telling me.
Hydraulic system was shot. And
so that thing
it never got replaced.
Is that 10 miles included for the well site?
No, that was just alleys. Just alleys and basically gravel roads within the city.
That's a lot of money, but if we could put that to use, how many times can we do an alley a year?
I think
I've been running alleys for 28 years, and he's right, they do run a box down there. And I'll give you a comment on that and do a heck of a job on that,
When you use the box blade, it's like add to it. So box blade, basically what I do is I go through, try and scarify it, tear it up, and you're making at least 8 trips in a block. You're going up, and then you end up with giant piles at each end that you're trying to redistribute for an entire block.
But you end up with that with a grader too.
No. You roll it to one side, and then you come back and carry it back across the road, and by the time you get to each end, you should not have a pile, and if you do, then you square your blade up. And you carry that and distribute it back down the alley. So it will speed up that maintenance.
Well, they do a good job.
How many hours do you think you would spend grading? And I'm going somewhere here. I'm not doing this just really yet. Do you you spend grading a year.
Well, with in the past,
with your current equipment,
with what I've done, I was lucky if I got 2 or 3 weeks a year with that.
And
so time
everything done.
And no, I was lucky if I could get a quarter of town done. I'd maybe do this corner from 7th and Main Street to the southeast, and then I'd come down here and do the alleys from 4th to Broadway.
So if you were to get everything done, 5 weeks?
Yeah, and that's just half the town. I've done, in my tenure here, I've touched the north side of town. Granted, there's not as many alleys over there. I think I've touched those maybe once or twice in my almost 15 years. So I think if you had a grade, a blade.
So $250 an hour to hire someone to grade our alleyways is about a 5-year return than we pay for the equipment.
Wow.
That is a fact.
I'd argue that point with you.
About 1,000 hours.
If they run that equipment down there, it's not going to take them five. If they buy that grader, it's not going to take them 5 weeks to run that.
No, but then we can do it.
If we don't buy it, we will spend the hours.
We could also maintain the alleys more than once a year. We could always try and make it a quarterly program. And especially the industrial area, that needs to be bladed every couple months to keep those roads maintained.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that one. Excavation company, they're doing it. It's every several weeks. That's a sad situation.
Yes.
That needs to be corrected.
What is the greater reason for keeping the later on gravel, the middle gravel as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of hard to do with box.
It is. It's very time consuming to use a box blade, and it's 7.5 feet wide. And
I have no problem with finding a new piece of equipment. In fact, it's had a group of it, but normally we look at these things in the budget here, and we do this as a rental item. I'm not opposed to the fact that it's available now, and it's available at this price right now. But I want to speak to Spencer and find out, you know.
Can I add something to, you're talking budget time and you're doing that. So the salesman, Case, spoke with them corporate, and equipment's going to get extremely difficult. They're allotting 50 pieces of equipment between 5 stores next year. Doesn't matter what kind of equipment it is, 50 pieces of equipment, backhoe, trackhoe, all sizes. So there's not going to be equipment available. Yes. So I agree, it's kind of...
No, but what you're doing though, Justin, is you're pulling $50,000 out of five budgets. Mm-hmm. Where was that $50,000 budgeted towards?
I can't tell you that. I'm not.
So something you're thinking about to be pulling in the budget was $50,000.
No, it's not even $50,000.
It's
percentage.
It's a value. Yeah. It's a value out of five budgets that is going to be taken out of those budgets that you had it for. You have that money on your budget. Now, if you can work out the expenses and stuff like that, I mean, if you want me to make a motion, I'll make a motion. But you guys still want to keep discussing it?
Well, the thing is, I buy equipment. Everything I buy is a year to 16 months out.
Yes.
So by the time you get around to it again, you may pay
$350.
Well, I think you should have to
I waited 18 months for the dump truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so,
well, you're getting $115,000.
Did we discuss it enough to where if I make a motion, you guys are willing to vote?
I want to hear Mark's opinion.
Well, I was just going to say what he said. We have an excavator on order, and it's going to be probably 2 years before we get.
So, but the question, Mark, you see the necessity of it.
That's what I want.
What's your opinion on that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right.
A box grader compared to a grader.
You're
going to get it done so much faster.
So
removal thing.
You think $247,000 or whatever it was is worth the basically 10 miles? 10 miles.
Roughly 10 miles an hour away.
We don't know. There might be.
But that's not counting the sewer plant and
other things.
And I will say one of the things that you might have talked to Kurt in the last few weeks, and one of the things that they're trying to do for Public Works is to get a set, a more regular set of routines, you know, the daily maintenance that needs to be done, like the alleys, like the well site, like the road, and not only just the map, but other things too. But in order to do those things, in order to accomplish those tasks, we have to provide them with the equipment they need to do it.
Right.
And I think this is where this comes out. And yeah, it's expensive, but it's a hell of a deal.
So who made I'd like to make a motion for the community meeting permit. The $247,000 under the central market, she would say,
So industrial lane, that's city, right? So then you got Highway 24, that project, west of this, Flamingo, Pagram.
Yep.
You have the school district here right there to the side, and Oasis Trucking. Who takes care of the street?
We're supposed to.
They're not touching. We need to touch it back.
Yeah.
We park. Use that for that.
Park
not there.
We actually have to. We actually have to park. We don't need that road too.
I'm for it.
A small thing, we can get here right away.
So, I got to. How about on Broadway 24 going out? Who's responsible for that?
That's the you're talking the grates under the highway, under the overpass?
No, going out after that, the shoulders, the ditches along the road.
WashDOT is supposed to be.
Somebody needs to get on WashDOT. You're right. So I have a question for, but actually I have a question for you afterwards.
Okay.
But what's a new low grader cost?
So that machine, they have a bare bones one with no push blade on the front, no ripper on the back, no capabilities of Incon GPS, and it's almost $350,000.
And how many hours does this one have?
It's got 250 hours on it.
Yeah.
It's
so if they get approved, you guys can actually do the money?
Yes.
Including Fauna?
If the city council wants us to plow them, we can plow them. We have the equipment to do it. I remember one year we had so much snow, I took the backhoe and knocked the drips out.
So,
there's the potential to do a lot of work, and as the city grows and gets more people, we're going to have more time.
Because the alleys, believe it or not, get a lot of use by residents, people who live there, and they're getting more and more and more use.
Most people have garages in the back, and we've gotten calls to Public Works on a regular basis. Hey, there's a giant pothole, so we go fix the pothole, but you look at the alley and there's 300 feet of gravel here that should be fixed.
You're right. That's what I said right at the beginning. I'll be the first to tell you that those roads down there and the alleys are in horrible shape.
So, and with the new direction that the city's going in Public Works and everything, instead of putting out the fires like I feel like we've done in the past for so long, if we can get our O&M program in place and get everything on a schedule, everything's going to be better. And we have the equipment to do it, we can do it faster and more efficient and get to the next project.
Okay. All right. So, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you.
Input and additional information. I'd like to note item 40, which is the Appellate Court Services.
City Council has heard that we had a meeting with the county here a couple weeks ago. Councilman Erickson, Lawless, myself, and police chief met with people on July 14th, and present from the county was the county prosecutor Randy Flick, Commissioner Jay Lees, Under Sheriff Dolfo Colorado, and also the district chairman Ben
did reach out to our city attorney to explain his concerns, and this was not successful. Addressed by Councilman Erickson, Mr. Flint stated the police department is at war with the sheriff's office, prosecutor's office, and Franklin County Sheriff, and that one of our employees has been submitting public records requests to Bergen County that they have to deal with the litigation, that they cannot have meetings with the chief without getting subpoenaed. Flint stated, I am done, this has got to stop. Mayor indicated he came to the table to negotiate, recognizing the extra security and cost of the court. Mr. Flint made it clear this is not about money. He stated this is about how unworkable this has become, but the situation has become a battle about egos. Mr. Flint expressed that it was not a poker table. I'm going to read this statement, and then Kelly's going to talk about the legal issues, and then I'm going to turn it over to the council. Just trying to set the stage here for what transpired that brought us here. Mr. Flick expressed it was not appropriate for an officer to be filing public records requests about all this stuff driven by his official capacity on duty. The mayor reminded Mr. Flick the lawsuit was not in an official capacity or on board time. Mr. Flick argued the topic is an official capacity, and I can't work with a department that's doing it. Flick stated, I need a police chief in a city that I can work with. I don't believe you are in a position to change this. In the future, this may be an option. Councilman Erickson stated, it sounds like you want to hire a police chief. Flick replied, it's not uncommon for the county prosecutor to have a lot of input on justice matters and on the selection and evaluation of a police chief. Put all this in context, years ago, Sheriff Wagner wrote several community members claiming that the Othello Police Department was failing, but the Sheriff's Office was comparatively over the police department. This was brought to the attention of the city administrator, Harris, and the mayor. Sheriff Wagner has actively sought to prevent Othello officers from engaging in investigations of being outside city limits. This is particularly apparent in drug investigations where the sheriff has demanded that officers provide the names of suspects, informants, and the location prior to approving the investigation. Chief Shea has explained our officers he conflicts with the approved federal agency, but would not provide this to the sheriff for safety. Failing this, the sheriff chose to make a baseless accusation against one of our officers after a meeting at his office. Accusation was investigated by our city attorney, and the officer was clear of all wrongdoing. The sheriff has since terminated the mutual aid agreement with the fellow, as well as withdrawn statewide consent for the law enforcement agency working out of town. About 4 years ago, after the first meeting with Mr. Flick, Chief Shane brought it to the attention of Mr. Harris and the mayor that the misdemeanor prosecution of our city cases was inadequate. We proposed to the county that it should hire their own prosecutor for our cases. The county's response was to demand a significant increase to our agreement and the city take over all collection of fines. This was unexpected and it took several years to negotiate an agreement. The county, in fact, did approve its prosecution service. That agreement is now expiring. We agree with Mr. Flick that this agreement is not about finance. But this is the end of where I agree with him.
I do want to address one thing which I actually didn't plan to. I think it's important. Mr. Fleck did reach out to me regarding his issue with being, the county being sued for the county family to respond to Officer Perez as well. Steve Perez. Made a public records act request in the county, apparently, or he claimed the county to be responding to it. And also, also called regarding the Steve Perez lawsuit that he filed against the sheriff based on statements that he made to the prosecutor and a number of individuals, including Steve Perez, which you tell you, my investigation would tell you, is false. And his idea of reaching out to me to resolve the issue was to state that the Mr. Perez's lawsuit had to go away, and that I should play a role in that. And Mr. Flint very much aware that Mr. Perez did his individual capacity, did not seek our permission. Was that inappropriate? Advised us what he was doing, but we cannot interfere with Mr. Perez's access to the courts to vindicate or enforce or seek to enforce his rights. He has a right just like anybody else to adjudicate his claims. And it would be extremely inappropriate for a city attorney to go to a city employee who is trying to address a wrong that they perceive has happened using the lawful means available to him, which is the court system, and lean on him because I represent his employer to get him to give up his rights. That's very inappropriate to do, and I was very upset by that. But beyond that, the legal issues is so the city is responsible by statute for the adjudication, prosecution, sentencing, incarceration of violations of its ordinances, as well as violations by adults of state misdemeanor, gross misdemeanor, criminal code. Great. And the statute says there's two ways that you can go about filling this responsibility. One, you can go through its own municipal court. Or two, you can contract with another municipality or county. So the city can do it. They can't enforce city ordinances that are targeted at the same behavior as the state misdemeanor criminal code. The problem is, for us, is the really is the expense. And the biggest problem here, not only the expense of it, is the timing rate. The county, through their just telling them that in a meeting, no written notice, but verbally stating that they're going to not renew the contract and effectively terminate the relationship with the county and the city in regards to the court services at the end of this year, only gives the city about 5 months. About 5 months to create and implement a court system. And that's a pretty big undertaking. Because not only do you have to set up a courthouse, but you have to hire all the personnel that are required, which is not just court personnel. And you have to have the systems and processes in place for all kinds of things. There's all kinds of state reporting. There's a fine system that the city's going to need to get tuned in with. And got to coordinate software, and there's a whole slew of things that, quite frankly, I haven't even been able to really forecast what is going to be. I know a lot of things that will be, there are going to be things that are going to come up. The big undertaking, city's going to have to hire a prosecutor, city's going to have to hire a public defender, a judge, court staff, and they have to find these folks who are going to be willing to work part-time. To find a good professional, good quality professional that can fill the roles of the judge role, the prosecutor role, or defender role, who are willing to, one, have the time to do it on a part-time basis, or either willing to do it on a part-time basis, which means they have to be retired or semi-retired, willing to take on a part-time job, or they have to be a practicing attorney that has time in their schedule to be able to pick up that extra prosecution work. And the same goes through with the judge and public defender guy. It's not just tax. It's going to take, I think, if we have to do it in 5 months, we'll do our best. I think being realistic, it's going to take much longer than 5 months. I think you're looking at closer to a year process to do it right. And so that leads me to the second issue that I think is pertinent from my perspective and my role is. The time. How can we get more time to have time to put in a system that is going to work well? And that's one thing I'm looking at the different options that we have, different legal options, as well as the best way to negotiate the county to do that. I'd like to think that the county doesn't want. And I'd like to think that the county's plan is not to abandon the city when they haven't been given sufficient time to create a court system and alleviate criminal enforcement vacuum in the city itself. So I'm going to do my best to try to extend that time. I think we can work out an agreement with Mr. Quick and the county commissioners to at least carry on with the contract as it is now for. I'd like to see people do that. So we'll see what we can do. And also, so I guess one other item that I'd like to touch on is the budgeting process. We are in the process right now to try to work out an estimate of what it would cost to have this full court system that we're going to have in place. The difficulty is that right now we don't have the total number, but also we need to work out how much revenue will come from fines. Because what revenue does not come from fines is going to have to come from somewhere else, and that's going to come from the city's coffers that is already collected from the citizens, which means the city's going to have to look at the budget and decide, okay, how are we going to cover the part of the court system, the cost of the court system that's not going to be financed by fines? Two options, I see it, which are cut expenses, take away from other programs, or you raise revenues, or you do a combination. But the cities have to look at that, and it is going to cost, I believe, when we look at all the numbers, very strongly, it's going to cost the city much, significantly more, substantially more, to create a court system and provide all the services on its own that it needs than it has been for the city contract with Adams County. The reason being that Adams County has a couple of advantages for it that allows it to do it less expensive. One is they already have the infrastructure. That's a sunk cost. It's there. They don't have to do that. The other thing, they have economy of scale. They're not hiring additional staff to take care of a fellow cases. They have existing staff, and a portion of their job is to work on the city cases. We don't have that luxury. We're going to have to, we don't have an existing staff person who can also get a prosecutor and can just add that to their case. Similarly, public defender judge. And so it's going to be likely to be significantly more expensive. So I think justice in a fellow is going to become more expensive. But one advantage of the city having its own court system as a prosecutor is it will have a lot more influence over that system and be able to make sure that it meets the city's needs and the way the council. So, the silver lining to make that.
I have a question on the contract that we have with them now. Isn't there something in there that says they have to give us so much time in writing to be able to do this?
Well, no, technically no. So, there is in the provision in the contract states that the contract automatically expires on December 31st, 2022. Now, if they want to terminate it earlier than that, they have to. But because this is not a termination prior to the expiration, it doesn't trigger the 12-month notice requirement in the contract. That's not necessarily saying that they're, that's not to say that that it's impossible that there isn't a notice requirement by statute, which is something that is.
Doesn't this kind of shoot themselves in the foot also by taking all these people to their court? Now they're going to have half my people.
Well,
most of the stuff is from what they'll win right now. Or it's right.
They take the Well,
and I'm willing to cast the rules off my just because this is all about holding the city. But they want. No. They want the Jews to go away with permits, but they want us to get rid of the police chief. They want to be able to pick the police chief for us or take over the services and provide it to the county. It's to be sitting there and listening to you guys when. Like, hey, let's get up and settle this thing. You know, because this is ridiculous. You want to create that, and let's do it. You know?
I hope Fred is trying to take a look at what they're actually doing for you. I believe they're trying to lend this constitutional life by the means of his job. I hope his attorney is taking a good look at what's going on.
If we could put a court system together and if you could negotiate with all money, well, how long would it take us to achieve that to negotiate the contract and then the next one for it?
But I have no idea how long it would take. But I also to negotiate with another municipality or county. You know, for example, in Grant County, maybe I don't know, I had so there's no discussion on that. If I'm just coming to the nearest county. The maybe get the internet, maybe not. and I don't know if they are, how long it takes to negotiate the contract. I really don't know. It would just matter what their concerns would be and you know, what they want to see in a contract, how long it takes to move over the things on that.
Okay.
And I don't know that there are other organizations out there that are holding that.
No, we also are not in jail.
Yeah, so they said they're going to no longer take our prisoners.
So we're going to be looking at jail time.
I tell the owner.
Well, we have a backup contract.
Yeah.
With Sunnyside. So we do have coverage on the incarceration. And these other ones will just, you know.
So we're going to be looking at a conditional backup contract. I'm not going to limit yourself to just going to jail.
Exactly.
We're looking to the point of backup contract.
And that's just this year. Ash County doesn't have a choice about selling the drugs.
Oh, that's a good point. I just want to make it clear. The only thing we're talking about, the only thing that's impacted are misdemeanors that occur within the city limits. Felonies are the county's responsibility. And under those circumstances, can the municipal court have jurisdiction over a felony coming?
Additionally, infractions, renewal traffic tickets, we also have to sell them on the court.
Correct.
And to look at that idea of going elsewhere, I think we owe it to our community that they're not having to travel someplace to contest a ticket or to pay a fine or a fee. I'm not opposed to the court system, the municipal court system at all. I'm actually quite very opposed to it. I'm just thinking about the kind of take to put money available and having a court system or plan B to fall back on the lower.
Maybe somebody would be willing to help us out in a temporary contract until we can get ours set up.
Well, we can use their basics. You know, provide the bare basics if we could do contracts and prosecuting attorney and the judge. We can use their basics to figure out where to put the money. How to go to the position in the bar and what we need to do. Figure out a place to do it.
Court if it runs up with these lines.
Yeah.
Adams County, even if it's in the city court.
flight ticket for, they're going to be adjudicated within our system. So you're going to create two systems, you're going to create some confusion, it's going to cost us more money in Othello to create our own justice system, it's going to cost the county residents a lot more money when they're paying the, you know, they have to pay the judge. And so I think what's going to happen in 4 years when that judge is termed is up, you guys are going to terminate the Othello District Court, and you're going to make everybody drive to Ritzville. It's still part of that system because you guys won't be able to do it. It's the numbers and it's the money. And I talked to Jay Weiss and openly at the meeting and asked him, and his only response is that he supports this. And he says that if the prosecutor and the sheriff can't get along with the police chief, then he's supportive of this decision. And so basically, they all support this decision, all three of them. And you know the interesting part about all of this is that not a single one of them talked to me or called me in the last year about any of this. None of them.
That's ridiculous, Mayor.
They have never said a word to me. And he says his, you know, the prosecutor says that he was taking the right step by contacting our city attorney. Basically, he should have contacted me. The protocol is you contact the executive branch, and you talk to the executive branch, and if any of these county commissioners had any problem with what was going on here in the city, they should have been talking to me about it. And if there was something that I felt like we could do, I would. But this, they weren't interested in any of that. They were interested on this end game where they're playing their card on this end game, and they have decided that they're going to use this excuse that even their county prosecutor knows that he can't deny this police officer whose constitutional rights. So he's trying to put pressure, which I believe is completely unethical, on the city to terminate him, to get him to drop the lawsuit, or to fire our police chief. All he's doing, his advice, is going to create additional liability for the city. We're not taking his advice. So, what does that say? Where do we go from here? I think that we need to take the county at their word. I don't believe that they're going to negotiate a new contract with us. And I also believe that with regards to the district court, we can use this courtroom. We can create in room one a prosecutor, an office for the prosecutor to work out. In room three, we can take out this false wall, in room two, we take out this false wall. We're going to do some improvements for the streaming, the live streaming, and that'll be in the closet, and this will become the judge's chamber. Both of those two offices will have access from a secure area of the city so that nobody from the public has access to them, which I think we need to do. I have the building inspector here. He's going to talk about some of the costs of doing some of this stuff. The other side of this is the room three. Now, jury trials are typically maybe two a year. So the city council and our committees can still be in room three. The staff can still have meetings in room three. And if we end up having a jury trial, rare as it may be, we can still open up this area and the jurors can sit behind here. How many juries would sit? How many jurors sit?
For a case like this, I believe the maximum be six.
Yeah.
In Washington, it's 6 to 12.
Now, I realize this room over here is private. You can hear what's going on right inside the room. But what the judge could do is clear the courtroom, and everybody could stand out there while the jury delivers. So I think that we can put this together. I think that we can move forward. I think that the county and the county elected officials of Adams County are making they're making good decisions right now. I don't think they're making good decisions because if they really care about the citizens of this county and of this city, which they represent, they wouldn't be making this decision. They would sit down with us and they figure out a way to do this, but they have chosen not to. And so I think that we'll take their cue and we'll move forward without. And we'll create our own court and
so the person you need to try it, where did you go?
Cam?
No, but we don't do it here, we don't do it.
But you want the sales company to be part of it.
Well, I think it's going to be kind of a...
They got a holding cell in there. We've got a holding cell that can hold two to four people temporarily. So we might have to file something where it's mandatory arrest. We could hold them here long enough to be arraigned by a judge. We would also want to work with some organization to put up alternative sentencing, like raise books for home detention, stuff like that. Once someone has been sentenced, or even pre-sentenced, they could be held in one of our contract jails, as long as that contract jail can be the deal arraignment. And actually, it's become very common for video arraignment, like, you know, there. We'll put the inmates in the jail cell, standing in front of the judge. So it's very doable.
One thing I thought of when after we left that meeting, and I was running through my head, the city of Othello enjoyed a certain level of latitude and professionalism from our police officers and education and over again, which I think is fine. I think building a relationship with your city police officers and your residents of the city is absolutely essential. I think that's going to have to go away now, or it's going to get back to some level. Would you say that? That we might end up with traffic light cameras?
I will never come to city council supporting traffic light cameras.
If I'm speaking on the funding of the court, this is an abstract idea because nobody put a budget in place. And we're gonna have to write more tickets if we're gonna fund the thing.
I would also very much recommend the council that you not advocate or influence try to influence the executive branch and how and what we're doing with that. The judge makes judicial decisions. We make the initial enforcement decision. The prosecution prosecutes it. Strategically, we do very much encourage our officers to use education as a good tool. Sometimes that is not the best answer. But I think, especially with repeat offenders, that education has failed. At that point, that's where enforcement kicks in. We would have more control over a court through the legislative. This would be a council appointment. So it would be an appointed judge, not an elected. Potentially, it could be an elected judge. But generally, a city this size is appointing a judge.
Lawyer about that, but the problem is,
yes,
technically, the state court could certainly have jurisdiction over both the city and the county. And if the question really is there a remedy that the court could do? There's nothing that legally requires the county to enter into a new agreement with the city for the provision of these services. It's just there's nothing in the statutes that, that allows the city to compel the county to continue on, doing what they've been doing. However, there may be other issues with how they've gone about terminating this contract, which is what I'm currently looking at, to see if we need to know the answer to that question, but it also will be helpful in trying to negotiate the county staying on with the contract for longer than they have communicated to us if they want to. But certainly not a fiduciary obligation. The relationship with the city and the county in this scenario, this circumstance, is defined by a contract and statute. And I have not seen anything at this point that would give us the legal ability to get a court order compelling them to enter into another agreement. It's possible that we may be able to delay it, but I can tell you with very, very high level of confidence is we cannot compel them to continue on with another contract as we have in the past. We may be able to get them to continue to provide services long enough for us to get a court up and running, but I think that's about the best we can do.
The reason that they were terminated this morning and not wanting to negotiate with us at all for the extension of the business.
And Dirk and Philip was the questionnaire. I didn't get it. Oh, yeah, the Dirk.
Well, I don't, because I made the statement to everyone in the room that we were here to offer them more money and we were looking at incremental increases over the course of that. Extending it for a 5-year period rather than a 3-year period, and they said absolutely not.
Okay.
And we will not do it because of the situation we have.
Okay.
And now the situation being that they cannot get along with the police chief and they're in a lawsuit with a police officer from the city of Oklahoma.
Okay, now I understand that question. Sorry. I think the reasoning for them not wanting to do the contract anymore really doesn't matter so much because the contract expires at the end of this year. And there's nothing in the law that compels them to enter into a new contract. So it really doesn't matter the reason. I mean, as long as it's not a discriminatory reason, such equally discriminatory reason. Now, the time frame though, there may be an issue with the time frame. They've given us 5 months notice for an expiration of the agreement that they're not going to renew it. That very well could be an issue. The laws around the court systems, the city and counties who are doing the city's prosecution for them, have been designed to build in at least a year's notice before the county quits or some other municipality quits providing those services because of the policy decision by the legislature that it takes time to get a court system up and going. And so that's what we're looking at right now. But the statutes, I would say, are not crystal clear. And so more research needs to be done to take a look at that. And I'd like to do that before I'm really in a position to fully inform the council on the ins and outs of it, because I just have not had sufficient time to take a look at that.
I think we move to extend the contract or extend the time, at least for a year. They had that before, and at the same time, we sort of move into their own thing.
We won't
get a year.
You want my opinion, what I put, my takeaway,
they are not going to budge on that. It's strategically timed, and they know the impacts to the city. They know what they were doing. It's been a long time they have discussed that and positive with that. And they are good. They're
not going to take a phone call. So we're not going to hear. We've had all of this here for 3, 4, or 5 months.
Well, the county has an outrageous crime rate already. I send the police and my parents on that team. The county has one of the crime rates of any child in Washington. So I obviously don't need to get too much political power.
Okay, is there any more we need to move on?
Okay, so the next, hopefully what we can do is in the next 20% budget, a preliminary budget for this work, our next meeting, so now I'd like to move to item 4F, kind of a continuation of the same discussion. Council will get a first idea of what we're looking to do with regard to upgrades here at City Hall. Some are budgeted, some aren't, and we have with us within talking to City Building Inspector Tim Lindner's been working behind the scenes, looking over our buildings. So Tim, we want to come forward and review with the council some of this information that we put together.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I have looked this building over, and it is about 20 years old in this building. There's some things that need to be upgraded. Carpeting is getting pretty worn in spots, especially in the hallways back here. And along with the city looking at having a court here, then we need to kind of remodel this area here to accommodate a court. It is not handicap accessible, which by code we need to do that. Should have done it. What we're proposing on that is to remodel the dais and a few other things. Some of the estimates here, and I think you can see them, are just estimates, because I've got called the contractors that I know, quite a few of them, and tried to get them to come and give us a bid. Of course, they're very busy. I can be there on Tuesday next week, that type of a deal. So I've done my best in talking to different ones just right off about some of the items that we are looking at and the cost of them. Like the judge said, or like the mayor said, we'll convert this office into one office for prosecuting or defense. Convert this into the judge's chambers. This is the jury, and this building, this office over here, that's going to get used very often, into either defense or prosecution. Those things cost very little in order to bring them up to what our standards need to be. The most expensive one would be to take this wall out and put a permanent wall in and soundproof it so that anything that is talked about in here or talked about in there can't be heard in here. The dais remodel and things like that, handicap accessibility and things like that are going to cost about, I think that is right close to $40,000 to do that. That could possibly include some electrical. The electrical that we would have would be more plugins and wireless mics and things like that, I think that Abner has talked to you about. Flooring, that, like I said, is getting pretty worn, and that's going to be right between $40,000 and $60,000 to do carpeting. At that point, we started looking at the building and how the wear and tear on the building has endured over the years, and it looks like it needs a paint job. And then the trim, it looks like it's got beat up from carts and vacuum cleaners and everything else, it's got scuffed up. It needs to be restained and recoated. We also looked at maybe doing some seating, new seating chairs in here. Then we would also need a desk and furniture for the judge and the prosecutor. That was about $3,000 for that. One thing that I did notice in all of your discussion was how are we going to pay for this, and how are we going to pay for the judge, and all of that. From what Angel knows, and some of the rest of you also know, that Health Hotel is growing. You're going to get an added revenue coming in from that. We get Angel to go clear over the Lee Road, we'll be all set up. Price of houses are good now. We don't know how long it'll last. But I've also talked to numerous contractors about multiple housing, not on by the school and by the cemetery. There's 40 acres in there that can be built up. We've got numerous spots around that will eventually get built up. So I know that this improvement here and the judge and all of the staff is probably a little bit premature than what we actually would want, but we're forced into it. So, do you have any questions? I think our total, what all of this, if we do all of it and don't eliminate any one single line item, would be about $136,000, $140,000, right in there somewhere.
What do you have for sound? You didn't know about sound? Could we incorporate that with what we're doing for
that should be
yes, that's pretty good.
Oh, that's already
that was already budgeted in the budget. So that's that $134,000 up there. We would have an additional $140,000 for all the rest of this if we do each one.
And we did have some of the flooring budgeted.
$40,000.
Yeah.
And then I asked. So the I'm saying we don't need to vote for the motion. Is
$140,500. So, if you know, where would we fund that? Well, $40,000 is already in our current budget. The council's streaming is going to cover those other items, but these are separate. These 2 through 10 are going to be separate items, and that's what has us $140,500. Basically, we would ask the council to authorize us to go to bid on those items, and we would present then, you know, a final contract, or at least I need some kind of motion for us to solicit the bid proposal, not to exceed $145,000.
Motion for you to go out.
We should see bid before they deliver or not.
Well, the bids will come back. The bids are going to come back, and we're going to discuss the budget and the contract.
But if you put it, you can't put it out there like a bid.
Why don't we just operate for this and look at this and quote and then bring it back to us and see what the price is?
Right. Yeah. We'll keep that number to ourselves, and just, you know, you don't want to put a number down because if it's not, if it doesn't get to 140, well, if it's 110, then make it 140.
The only other way we could do this would be to, if you want to have value, have a figure, you just give them $140,500 to spend.
The way you typically do a budget is at this, you know, this time of the year we start working on the budget, and in November you pass a budget that says you got $500,000 for a street project. We then bid it out, and then we bring that to you and award it. So I would say you're basically approving a $140,000 budget for this work. Staff will bid it out. They bring it to you. You still still have to award the contract, and if it's more than $140,000, you say we need a budget adjustment. Well, this isn't even in the budget. It's going to require a budget adjustment when the project's brought forward.
Let's
you're just giving them a guideline.
But they're going to bid to the amount of the
engineer's cost opinions are solicited in.
I got a word to say here.
Sean makes a lot of sense because it's 240. If you get 4 or 5 bidders, you're going to have different numbers.
We're not going to bid this out as a general contract bid. We're going to do individual separate bids. We're going to general it ourselves. So, I just...
We do that.
Yeah, that I mean, I'll need to look at that if the bidding was, because you know, you can separate some out, but there are limits on that because they, for that very reason. You know, a lot of this, yeah, I guess a good case in point is a lot of this could be done on a small work roster or something like that, and so then you could avoid the specially required competitive bidding by piecemealing it out. And so there's rules around that. So I just need to take a look at the items on here, right, and then take a look at those piecemeal rules and see how much of it can be done separately and how much of it has to be done together. And then we can do it that way. But generally, I think however the bid goes out, we internally set a budget of $140,500. We put out a bid. It's not put out the bid and advertised as a bid not to exceed X amount. It's just put out, this is the bid, this is what we want done, bid on it.
That's what I was trying to say.
No, that's all we're going to do.
That's all we're going to do. That is what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
So don't put the number in the motion. We're setting the budget.
It doesn't matter.
We're putting the onus on staff. If they get a $300,000 bid, that, yeah, it's, we're probably.
So staff are the bid and don't put a number on it.
My motion tells staff, don't spend more than this, or don't entertain anything more than this. So when you design all this work and you come back with a $300,000 quote, I'm going to say, no, get the Italian stone off of here. Take the French cadings off the wall. Get it down to the $140,500. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, design can get out of hand. This comes with the onus on staff. So.
I do think that, just to relieve your mind a little bit, I think we can get this done by the first of the year. It'll be a little tight, but we can get it done.
Well, are you going to sub it out, or do you feel free to sub it out?
I'm already taking bids. I put some of it out for accepting bids. I've had 2 painters through here and 2 electricians. But it's a matter of getting the bids back yet.
So anytime we bid out or put out a small works roster or a quote project, you have an engineer's estimate of what you think the cost is going to be. So, contract is always, and that's the most least, that is the least educated or informed number with the bid. So, if we put a project out, we estimate it's $35,000. As long as we're doing the competitive bidding process, whether it's a quote, small works roster, or bid, it's being competitively bid. So, there's always an estimated price on it, and that's all these are. No one's going to just say, $3,000, you got to give it to me. We have to a quote. You got to get at least 3 quotes. Best thing is to go through and notify it. Get the advertising out there. If we can split it out, we can't parcel it out and do all quote projects. We would have to do a small works roster if it all adds up to being more than the $75,000, which is above the quote. We'd have to do a small works roster for each.
But you're right, with city, county, and state, that's the way it works. Exactly right.
Can I amend?
Private is a little different, but you're right.
Can I amend my motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you did. Yeah.
I
want to withdraw my motion, and I want to make a new motion. What? request a paint job, just not with glitter paint. So things at the same price. And that way you're not pushing the can. But the budget amount that for I just request for it. I want the design work to be done. When you're putting numbers together, you look, if I want to put a pipe on it, I look at FRP pipe, PVC pipe, steel pipe, and I try to figure out where I'm going to stay in the budget. And that's what I'm putting normally on the staff. Try to stay in the budget. Is that fair? Fair enough.
Yeah.
It says right in the motion. In the amount of not to exceed $140,500. So I second that motion to burn it.
Okay.
Do I need to do the name and address thing? Sean Bates, for the record, Sean Bates, 1156 East Juniper Street, Oklahoma, Washington. I appreciate the spirited discussion again tonight. One small note, just to remind us all, unless things have changed in the last 10 years, I defer to our city attorney on this. I believe the requirement is that when things go out to bid, that we go with the best responsive bidder. I think it's the fancy language in state the bid statute. What it means is the cheapest guys. So I hope that's.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of wow, that's great.
So, having no further business,